Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
You seem like somebody who definitely walks the talk, and that's what this show is essentially about, like really walking the talk and doing you know, it's very much centered around some of the little challenges that we do in everyday life that kind of move us forward, and the obstacles and things we've overcome that help us grow. So to kick it off, what are some of the perhaps significant obstacles you've faced on your own journey that have led you to where you are today? It's a big question, but how did it begin?
Sure. Well, I always say pain is the touchstone, is the touching point of where I'm willing to do something different. I'm willing to change something. So it usually takes pain for me to be ready to do what it takes to actually make a different result, make a different pattern. So for me, I was in a marriage where I was struggling, and I had been struggling for a while, and I you know, I wanted to make it work, and it was the pain that caused me to continue to seek and improve. And that's actually how I got into coaching, because I had tried, I mean, I was trying everything. I was trying support groups and therapy and acupuncture and yoga and meditation, and I was like, self-help books. I was looking for a solution, and I found a coach, and she really found the answers inside of me by asking good questions. And I thought she had some kind of like mystical power or something, but it turns out that all of us have what we would consider magic inside of us. And it's really, it is our birthright. Every single one of us has our own answers for the plan of who we're supposed to be here on earth. And so I started getting results right away by finding, instead of looking outside myself for answers in this self-help book or in a therapist's office, you know, I was given the opportunity to be asked the questions to find the answer for me. And that's what I think a good coach is they ask the right questions. And sometimes our brain will tell us, I don't know, because it's trying to keep us safe. Our brain, you know, is magnificent, and it knows how to, it has a lot of jobs, a lot of different jobs. And one of the jobs in there is to keep us safe. And in order to do that, it believes we have to stay the same. And that goes against, that is the exact opposite of what it means to learn and grow and become. So you have to know what you're up against. You're up against, you know, the subconscious mind keeping you the same. And yet, if you want a different result in life, then you have to look at and retrain your brain to do that. And basically that's what happened to me. And I couldn't believe the transformation. And it has been my goal, my commitment to share my passion about how to transform, how to change with other people. Because I didn't know how to. I had been searching for how to change for so long, and I was not getting the results I was looking for. So I'm passionate about getting tools out there so that people really can believe they are capable of creating a life they love, even when it's hard, even when it doesn't look exactly the way they want. You actually can still choose to be happy and be present in the moment. And, you know, it's a form of acceptance and loving what is. So that's how I got into it.
I really appreciate the honesty. And I think we're all far more alike than we are different, all of us. And I can relate to this seeking external salute, trying to find the solutions in the external and just coming back to self constantly and kind of having to find that trust that you're talking about within and trust that, you know, but yeah, like you say, it took the right kind of guidance by the sound of it to the right questions and the right guidance to be able to trust what we already know within. And it always sounds kind of, sort of straightforward in hindsight, but it's actually really epic to get to that place where it's like you start trusting yourself and know that the answers are within. And then in your case, to go even further and then turn that back around and start trying to bring that out of others is really awesome.
Absolutely. And I was reading this book yesterday that was talking about a lot of us think that we trust ourselves. A lot of us think that we like ourselves. But do we feel is a different question? Because a lot of people can think that they like themselves, but the feeling of liking themselves isn't actually there, and it has to be created. And, you know, a lot of us suffer from, you know, not feeling good enough. And that's what I'm talking about. We can think that, you know, I trust myself, or I love myself, I like myself, I accept myself. But what happens is thinking is different than feeling. And there's a disconnect. So if we don't align those, our behavior and results will not take us to the place that we want to go. And so it's really being aware of what we're up against. Our thoughts create these feelings. And if they're not in alignment, that will dramatically affect your behavior and results. And so when you don't like your behavior or you don't like your results, it's all we have to do is go back to, okay, is it a feeling or a thought? And we we get to retrain and rewire, but we have to be aware first of what's causing the result. So if you're, you know, for me, even today, I still, this is a daily, it's almost like a daily reprieve, because I wake up and my mind, it wants to protect me even today. So I wake up this morning and my brain is like, well, I want to keep you the same. So I, you know, it wants to hold me back, you know? And so I have to have the awareness of there's a thought that's afraid of change, or I wake up with the thought that something's going to be hard, or something's going to be scary. And that's going to affect how my day goes, you know? So it's about training the brain, you know, where to go. Our brain needs directions. Just like, you know, if we're going to a new place, we need the GPS, right? We use our phones to tell us where to go. Thank heavens, because I can't imagine looking at a map while I'm driving, right? So, you know, we have directions to get from point A to point B. Well, that's what we need to do with our feelings and our thoughts. And so it's about the awareness of what's coming up and where I want to be, and having the tool to go from point A to B. And really, if we don't direct our mind and we don't choose how we want to feel, then you go to the default. And the default is pessimism. The default is negative self-talk. The default is, I'm not really good enough, or I can't do it, or I won't do it, or it's too hard. I mean, it's endless what the negative self-talk. And I don't know if this is true for everybody, but, you know, there's a part of my thinking that is never satisfied. And I need to be aware of when that part of my mind is moving the mark, because I can have a goal and then achieve it and still not be satisfied because that part of my mind moves the mark or puts it somewhere else. I said that was going to make me happy, but then when I get there, no. And it switches on me. And so I can easily find myself irritable and discontent. And so even today, even after I've been practicing this for over a decade, it still is about the awareness of what's going on right now in this moment, and how can I redirect, reprogram, just like in the GPS, when you take the wrong turn, it says rerouting. Like that's the kind of awareness that we're looking for in our brain.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've mentioned choice a couple of times. Choice is massive. Like, you know, continuously making the choice to go against things or recalibrate, like you say, and the, you know, our brains are kind of like, you know, broken hard drives in a way, full of condition. You also mentioned, I was going to mention, you know, behavior. It's like the behaviors might not match the kind of core of who you are. The behavior can be misaligned and mismatched. But I can relate to what you're saying about the dissatisfaction. I feel it too. Like I think when, you know, when I get there with the project, then I'll be happy. I've really been trying to, you know, it's said a lot, but the gratitude thing and also take stock of things in context. It's often hard to see in context how far we've come from a certain place. And I imagine with yourself, like 10 years ago, you know, if you look at that respective to now, like it's an awesome place to be, but it's hard to see that in context, and the dissatisfaction is still there. I'm trying also to be like cool with achievements and really take stock of that stuff. I think it's important. So yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah. So why don't we celebrate our achievements? Why do you think you don't do it?
Yeah, we just, well, I'm particularly hard on myself. I mean, you know, I've had to fight perfectionism and be cool with, you know, imperfection, and be less hard on myself. And sometimes the things we tell ourselves are pretty brutal. And it's like, I'm quite fine now, particularly creatively, in terms of taking criticism, because the stuff I tell myself, like, is sometimes far more, you know, but I have to be careful of that. I'm like, why we're so harsh on ourselves sometimes, you know?
Yeah, that perfectionism is brutal. Mm. It's exhausting. Mm. And I liked what you mentioned about gratitude, because you know, anyone listening that can relate to being hard on themselves, you know, that's one way of looking at something. But when we can see that there's another choice, that is empowering. And so gratitude, and they say that you can't be two things at once. So mm-hmm. when you work on gratitude, you know, you can't be in ungratitude. And so it when we're in that, you know, irrational state of things aren't good enough, it's because we're not grateful enough. And mm-hmm. so, you know, in my book, Happy, Joyous, and Free, Love Your Life No Matter What, that was kind of the whole point of writing that book, was to give people tools so that it didn't matter what was going on, that we can train our brain to love our life no matter what. And to me, that is what freedom is, because freedom's different than just being happy. Happy is one thing, you know. And a lot of these emotions, I feel like, because we can choose, they represent skills. It's a skill set to be happy. It's a skill set to know what joy feels like. It's a skill set to be free, you know. Just like forgiveness. You know, when we learn about it, when we understand it, when we practice it, we make progress and we get better. And just like Olympians, they are masters at their skill. It's astonishing how many hours, you know, an Olympian athlete will put in to master the skill. And so it really comes down to, okay, you know, if I want to be happier, if I want to be at peace, if I want to have more freedom, if I want to have a good marriage or a good relationship, what am I willing to practice to make progress? And how much do I want to put into that to get the benefit? I mean, you know, I mean, Olympians, they make it their whole life to master that skill. And they do, and you can clearly see that the practice makes progress. And even major, I mean, the difference between, you know, first and second place could be seconds, right? Seconds. And they've correlated that with just the more practice somebody has had, even if it's just a little bit more, it makes a difference. And that can also be even in our mind, like practicing and visualizing forgiving somebody, or I think it's just the repetition that changes the way our brain looks at something. And that's where we're at. Whatever's going on in your life right now, the results you're getting are from repetition. So if you want to change it, we have to turn it a little bit to change it in the other direction. And it's not as much as you might think.
a little tweak. Yeah. I like the athlete's approach to this stuff. Like, have a real kind of athlete, like it's a muscle. All this stuff is a muscle. you mentioned forgiveness, which, yeah. So in your work with couples and kind of relationship conflict and things, how, like, I kind of think forgiveness is almost a gift you give yourself, as opposed to potentially thinking, oh, I need the other person. I mean, obviously you need things from the other person, like perhaps if they can demonstrate a change in, you know, that they're trying to change or something, but ultimately it's kind of, there's a lot of self-forgiveness required. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think you can't give what you don't have. So if you don't know what forgiving yourself is all about, you'll never be able to forgive somebody else. So absolutely, self-love, self-forgiveness, it all begins with going inside and clearing the channels inside that are holding me back so that I can be useful to other people. And, you know, real peace comes from not needing someone else to do anything. And I love relationships. I one of my commitments to the world is to create more marriages and to save marriages. I would love to save a million marriages in the next decade. That's one of my goals. Because so many times we are pointing the finger at somebody else. And, you know, they always, I don't know who came up with this, but if you're pointing your finger at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back at you, right? So it's usually, you know, it's that mirror. Like, we see something in somebody else that is disturbing or irritating or annoying. And so, you know, we point at them, but really it's a reflection of what we don't like about ourselves, what we wish we could have. I mean, it's a signal that there's something going on with me. And if you want a healthy, intimate relationship, there is no place for blame ever, ever. That means, you know, I can share my needs and desires and wants with somebody else, meaning, you know, I wish you would pick up your dirty socks and clear your plate from the table. And what if they never, ever, ever do it? I've stated my needs, my desires, my wants, and they don't do it. Well, we have absolutely no control over other people. So it's being able to share things and being open and honest with no expectation, because it's the expectation. You talked about perfectionism. I'm hard on myself. So guess what? I'm hard on other people. So when they don't do something, it's like, ugh, you know, it brings up anger, you know, and it is a mirror for what's going on inside of me, because I'm mad at myself because I'm not perfect. And so these are, you know, I'm hard on myself because I want to be better. And so I'm hard on others because I want them to be better. And it really, if we could get to a place where I don't need anyone else to do anything for me or to me, and that I'm at peace within myself, that is the best place to be. And our relationships, I mean, I believe we're here to love one another. There's no question. But all of us fall into these traps of codependency and this, you know, like I want to be in love. I want to get love. And really it's, you know, love is a byproduct of being okay with myself. It's not a it's not like, it's not the reward. Like, finally, oh, I found this person that says they love me and want to marry me. That's that we think of a, like, as like, I'm getting something, like I'm getting love.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
We don't get it out there. It's inside here. Mm. And I always like laugh. One of the chapters in my book is looking for love in the wrong place. You know, we're looking outside instead of it's right here. It's been there the whole time. You were born with it. You were created with it. It's the love is inside. We just have to find it. We're so distracted. We are so distracted with all these things outside of us, you know, money, job, relationships, health, you know, it's constant, you know, in our phones and electronics, it's taking away from finding my answers inside.
How important is intuition to you?
Yeah, it's really important. It's just that most of us don't stop.
It's hard to listen to. Yeah.
You know, because it's hard to listen to intuition when, you know, the TV's on. You know, there's just, like I said, those distractions. And we all are rushing around. And so there's all this self-doubt. So sometimes, you know, you might have an intuitive thought, right? But then what happens? What I hear all the time is, oh, well, I wasn't, you know, we dismiss it, right? Because it's so subtle. We dismiss it or we doubt it. Or, you know, we consult with the wrong person and they're like, that's a stupid idea. Especially about our dreams, right? Like, some of us have been able to tap into these like big audacious dreams and goals, and you tell the wrong person and they just squat it, you know? And then we're like, oh, well, that was just, you know, well, what was that? You know, I mean, it's like people will dismiss it or they're just not in touch with it because it can be so subtle. So, you know, one of the most powerful things that we can all do is make time to get quiet, to be still, to listen, to hear our intuition and get really good at recognizing it, you know, closing your eyes so you're not distracted with all the stuff that's going on, and take moments to just think about nothing. And that again is a skill. It takes practice. It doesn't just come because we're so used to moving. You know, for years I was like, well, walking is a meditation, you know? And I, cause I was like, I can't sit still. There's just, you know, and I got a lot of benefits from walking. So I considered that's like, you know, my meditation, but, I've gone from that to guided meditations to being able, I've practiced. At first, it would just be like 2 minutes. I'm going to sit, close my eyes and be still, you know, and then, you know, And, you know, now I can be still for a lot longer, you know, but there's still that thing in the back of my head of like, there's laundry to be done. You need to call that person. You need to do, you know, there's just like, it's endless. That mind is just going.
It's crazy how hard stillness can be even for like half a minute a day. It's funny you mentioned walking. Like last night, I just think, you know, before sleep, when we have this massive input of information, whether it be the phone or whatever, I don't know if it's the best before going to sleep. And anyway, last night, like you say, it was just racing with all sorts of stuff. And I was like, I'm literally going to stare at the ceiling. So, I mean, it's hammering down in snow, and literally at midnight, I just took a walk around the block, and it really sounds a bit ridiculous, but it really just helped because by the time I got back to the apartment, I was just like, okay, I'm tired now and I can, but if I had stayed in that like monkey mind mode that I was in, I probably would have stared at the ceiling for 3 hours and not, but I literally just went, it's midnight, just put you like, just go outside through the snow and just walk around the block. And it was, but when I was out there, it was actually pretty cool because it's so quiet and peaceful and there's like pretty snow everywhere. So sometimes again, it's just like calibrating and knocking this stuff around, like, you know, the toolbox, to get us where we need to be. And I love that you've described intuition as subtle, because it really is. And that's the thing. It's so subtle, but it's so big because it's like our North Star. It's like a compass, and it is really, really subtle. And yeah, how can we listen to it with so much distraction? But when we do, I just believe it proves itself over and over. Sometimes not in the way that I think it's going to play out, but it always guides me somewhere when I listen to it. And as you said, if you have a goal or a dream and then suddenly somebody slaps that away, what you've been working toward, if we're not careful, we can really build a house on that and like just undo the work. So it's a very delicate thing, all this.
Absolutely. And it's important to, you know, surround ourselves around people that can encourage us and lift us up. And, you know, it's been proven over and over that you're an average of the five people you spend the most time with. And, you know, going back to the pain that I was mentioning in the beginning, you know, I was in a marriage that was hurting me. And it wasn't just all him. I mean, I got to see what my part in it was too, but I was desperate when I looked at the average of, you know, obviously, you know, I was married, so I was sharing a home with that person. And so that person was, you know, was definitely an average of my five. And I thought to myself, well, he's bringing my average down, right? And I needed help. I needed, you know, we both needed help. We both needed people that were above our average, above where I was vibrating, to help me come up. And so I was like, well, how am I going to do that? If I live with this person, how am I going to raise my vibration? And so I started like, it doesn't even have to be someone you physically are talking to. Just like have this podcast to inform and lift and encourage people, start doing that. Start listening to people you can respect and admire that are giving you good ideas, that are creating, you know, vision in your mind. And so that's what I started doing. I started listening to people that could bring my vibration up whenever I could. So, you know, in the car, after I parked and just walking from, you know, where I parked my car into the place I was going, I had so that I could have a higher vibration, that I was feeding my mind higher vibration, higher knowledge to raise it up so that I could have the ability to have those, you know, inspiration to change something, to do something different, to shift. So it's really important, you know, if you're feeling depressed or down, I mean, what are you watching on TV? You know, I always, you know, sometimes, you know, we talk about, you know, being on a diet to lose weight. Like, have you ever heard of a media diet? You know, it's like our brain, what are we feeding our brain? And whatever you're feeding your brain is usually a result or a behavior that's coming out. And so that's another tool to use. Like, if I don't like the behaviors that are coming out, if I don't like the results I'm getting, what am I feeding my brain to get a different result, a better result, a higher frequency result? So I always think of that when, you know, one of the first things I'll do with the client is like, let's look at the outward stimulus that is, you know, pulling you down, and just doing like small, sustainable changes, because it doesn't have to be black and white, or, you know, don't ever listen to news again or something like that. You know, I mean, I hate diets just for that reason. I don't believe in just cutting everything out. It's not sustainable. Usually we just go back to the way we were. So if we can find small little ways to like, to pull into my daily way of living, that's going to be more sustainable.
Tangible bite-sized pieces. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Do you have a challenge for the listeners? Something perhaps small in that way, but tangible, quite specific in a way, particularly if somebody's struggling, do you have a challenge that they could try?
Well, my favorite thing is body language. And Mel Robbins has a high five challenge where you actually give yourself a high five in the mirror. We all know in our mind, even if you don't speak English, right? Like, it translates, body language translates in any language. And everybody knows a high five is a happy thing. It's a celebrating thing. It's a like, yes thing, you know, it's like, you go, girl, you know, it's vibrational, and it's unconscious because we've been taught that from an early age, you know? And it's kind of a lost art, you know? I mean, when's the last time you've given somebody a high five?
That's,
you know, yeah. But we used to do it, you know? So it's one of those things that your mind already knows. And so I like just something really small, like when you get up to go to the bathroom in the morning, to give yourself a high five in the mirror and just be like, it's going to be a good day. High five. And it's just one way to just kind of connect. And so my challenge is, if you do that for 30 days and you don't feel different, man,
that's a good one.
It's like impossible for you not to feel different. I would even give it 7 days of just giving using body language to shape the way your mind is looking at the day. And we need it in the morning, but I always give people, you know, bathroom homework. You can do in the bathroom, because we all go to the bathroom, and most bathrooms do have a mirror. And, you know, and to give ourselves a high five, because all of us are in need of encouragement. And if you're looking for it in the wrong place, you know, it really starts from here. So this is a way for us to give ourselves encouragement and to give a high five and, you know, inspire our, you know, take it upon ourselves to take the responsibility to say, you got this. It's going to be a great day. Use your agency and your power to choose with your body language, you know, it's going to be a great day. Because if you just use an affirmation, like, it's going to be a great day. And really, your mind is like looking down, your shoulders are rolled forward. Like your mind's like, affirmation just goes out the door, you know?
It goes back to what you were saying at the beginning about the feeling rather than the intellectualized thing, trying to get the feeling. And that challenge is awesome. I think it could be applicable to anything that's programmed in a way that gives that positivity. Like for someone, it might be a high fives. It could be something else. But if it injects that for a short moment physically, that's really cool. Like I'm just saying, you know, each to their own in terms of maybe you're not a high five person. You do something, a fist bump or whatever,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it really is. It's just even smiling.
It's a muscle.
It's a body language. So they say neurons that fire together, wire together. And so it's an affirmation, but it's also getting your body involved because your brain is tied to your body language. And there's just so much research on this. So even practicing smiling at yourself in the mirror, you know, even the awareness of when you're feeling bad, what do? But you can see it in people's body language. You can see people, their shoulders are rolled forward. They, you know, they look down, they cross their arms, they close themselves off, they get small. Now, men are usually better at body language of like being more open and laid back and relaxed and getting big, where women are even taught at an early age to get small, like cross your legs, be little and cute. And, you know, they're taught to be small, but that tells your brain to be small. And so we need to open our shoulders and, you know, and look up. I think, how many of us are walking, looking at our phone? The body language is looking down. And even I've caught myself looking down. I don't even have my phone, but I'm looking at the ground instead of looking out and seeing what's around me and making eye contact with people and smiling. Like, I think the pandemic made it worse that we're not looking at people. We're not seeing people, you know? And so body language is a quicker way to engage our mind with those thought patterns that we want to make adjustments to. And it's fascinating, the research that's behind what smiling does, the hormones, the chemicals that are released from our brain when we smile, whether we feel like it or not.
Yeah, definitely. No, I'm fascinated by body language and behavior, but all this is like a more integrative approach, you know, the everything as a whole. Where can people find you?
Sure. Happyjoyousandfree.org is my website. I'm on LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook, of course, all the TikTok. And I love giving free content. I love giving, you know, body language advice for sure. And how to create better relationships is one of my favorite things. But mostly I love inspiring and lifting people up. I also have my book on Amazon, Happy, Joyous, and Free, Love Your Life No Matter What. And that's a great place to start because it talks about a lot of the tools that we mentioned today.
Well, you have a genuine vibrancy about you, which is really cool, even through the computer screen here. So, no, I really appreciate it. There was lots of cool insights there. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. And I really appreciate what you're doing by putting podcasts out. I got to listen to other entrepreneurs that are changing the way, you know, I love the kind of storyline of I was doing this career and then I went into this career. And that takes a big mindset change. That takes different thoughts and feelings to create a different result. And those are just, those are so feel good stories, because it's like based on, you can do anything you put your mind to. And I believe that. And there's tools to help you get and create the life you really want.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.